This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. It's often the case that big problems have simple solutions. NC State student Tate Rogers figured that out when he put his mind to the problem of waste disposal in rural areas of the developing world. He knew that failing to properly get rid of sanitary waste can have serious health consequences, so he designed a simple waste removal machine and received funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to develop it. Tate Rogers is a graduate student in the Environmental Engineering Department at NC State, and he joins us in the studio now. Tate, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How did you get going on this problem?
Well, it was actually part of a senior design class. I also did my undergrad at NC State. So Dr. Borden posed the problem, actual real-world problem, with the Gates Foundation for us to come up with an idea. And even though it was supposed to be a fake real-world problem, when I came up with the idea, he liked it. So we ended up submitting it. And he got funded. So,
well, so tell us what the problem is.
So the problem is not many people realize how much of a problem sanitation is. Currently worldwide, there's 2.6 billion people without proper sanitation. And actually, a more staggering number is that 4,000 children die every day from as a result of diarrheal diseases. And most of that is directly related to sanitation. So in recent years, there's been a push to move away from open defecation, which is what still over a billion people worldwide use as their main source of sanitation. But so
that means just going wherever, just to make that clear. And so there's not even pits in these areas.
So
we had a billion people.
There's still a billion people that
still
are
doing
that. Yep, going wherever they can.
People recognize that and they say, we need to do something about it. So
right.
Then they intervene. And what's the solution there?
Right. So in the last few years, they've been moving towards using pit latrines, which is just a way you can think of it as the old outhouse your mom and dad used to use. So it's basically just a hole in the ground that isolates the waste from the people. So, which is a great idea, except now, a few years later, these things fill up and you're left with the same problem. So that's where my project comes in.
And what kind of a problem does that pose? They fill up. Do you just dig another one? I mean, what happens in places where somebody else, and I'm assuming that NGOs have gone in and dug these things, right?
Right. Well, sometimes, I mean, they try to make the community do as much as they can. But, right, I mean, so a lot of these are in slums. So, I mean, often they just dig another hole. But eventually, you know, you're just pushing the same problem off. So eventually you're going to have to get the waste out and send it somewhere. And often these are next to wells and stuff. So the fewer the pits, the better. So you definitely have to find a way to get the waste out of the pits.
So what'd you come up with?
Well, growing up on a farm, I just assume a lot of people know what this is. But a power earth auger is just something you dig fence post holes with. And you can think of it as a screw that's powered by a gasoline motor. And so pretty much the idea is I just put a pipe around it, which allows the screw to turn, and it just rotates and brings the waste up to the top and out into drums or whatever transport device you have. So it's a really simple idea.
All right. So now, but you got to get the drums in there, right? So you're going to fill drums with the waste from the auger that's got the pipe around it.
Right.
First of all, where are the drums going to come from? And then what do I do with those?
Well, drums, you know, 55-gallon drums, you can find those anywhere. That's what we're using right now. But, I mean, whatever transport device you have. So, if you think spatially, you know, a few drums takes up a lot less space than a septic truck. So that's the problem. These people either can't afford the septic truck that we're used to, or the septic truck just can't reach the location that they're at. So the whole machine is really that I came up with is really portable. It's easy to use. It can get to pretty much any location. So,
is it the kind of thing that could be built locally, or would you still depend on other places?
Yeah, it's pretty much all local parts. I mean, most of the stuff I picked up straight from Lowe's here. So, most of the stuff you can find here, you can find worldwide too. And it's really, the whole prototype that we built now is only $800 compared to $100,000 septic truck. So,
and I understand you were pretty surprised that nobody thought of this first.
I was. I mean, the actual technology dates back to the Archimedean screw, which is centuries old. When I first came up with it, you know, I spent a few days just making sure it didn't already exist, and lucky for me, it didn't. So
tell us about this, because at some point then you got funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
We did. So after my senior design class, we ended up submitting the proposal. I think there was over 2,000 proposals submitted, and they're not just from universities, they're from companies and all over the world. So we got the phase one $100,000 grant, and I found that out right before I started grad school, which was really nice to hear. So right now it's a 2-year grant, for $100,000. So if we prove the technology works and, show it's applicable, then we can apply for a phase two, which is $1 million grant, which would be 2 more years. So
now, how do you, is it field testing, or how do you test?
We've been testing it in the lab. So I have to get a lot of pretty grass for my thesis. So we've been testing it in the lab using a simulant waste, which looks and behaves like real human waste, but doesn't smell as bad. And so that's what we've just been testing in the lab right now using the electric motor. So,
and what about field tests? Can you get any out into the field with on this grant?
You can. Hopefully next spring we're looking to go to possibly the Philippines right now because we have connections in our department. But wherever, we'd like to actually take the machine to a real developing country and test it on a real pit, so to see how it stands. So.
Yeah, it does seem to me that one of the risks here is if something does break down, and then we've got something that we're drawing out and spilling out all over the place.
That is a cause, but I mean, if anything breaks within the machine, then it's all still inside the machine, so it's really. And it's basically all PVC. The auger, we don't use a metal bit like you would use on a farm. So it's all PVC. It's a PVC pipe. So it's all really cheap and really easy to replace and clean. So that's we're not really too worried about that.
So you talked about this being a lucky break for you in the sense you're going into grad school. What would you be doing now if it wasn't for this?
Well, I mean, I'd still be doing grad school, but I wouldn't have a way to pay for it. So yeah. And this is really helping out as far as that goes. And it's cool because. I eventually want to have a career doing engineering in developing countries, so it's really cool to be doing something, working on a project that I helped come up with, and it's something that I want to do eventually for a career.
In some ways, does a project like this, it's going to be a great, if it all works out, it sounds like it's going to be very useful to, what did you say, 2.3 or a billion people,
yeah,
or 2 billion people.
Right, yeah.
So that's a terrific thing. But as a student for you, anything this simple, I mean, you're an engineering student. What do you learn in a project like this?
There's quite a bit to learn. I mean, you think, and my background is environmental, and I still am environmental, but there's quite a bit of mechanical engineering that goes along with it. So I'm learning quite a few things, and the biggest challenge is going to be once we get the technology working, which we've already proven that it works, is going to be implementing it into these countries. So that's going to be the most difficult part. But
plus, it proves the KISS rule, right? KISS, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, keep it simple.
There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
So listen, now as part of this project, you're going to get to go to Seattle.
Yep.
Tell us about the conference that's coming up.
So we applied to go to the conference in Seattle. It's called the Reinvent the Toilet Fair.
Stop.
Yeah, right.
There's a Reinvent the Toilet Fair.
Right, yeah. Right. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they have all kinds of wacky stuff like that. So, yep, that's what it's called. So they had a separate competition to reinvent the toilet. So there's 8 projects that were focused on making toilets that are completely sewer-free and that are less than 5 cents a day to use. So then they also invited other sanitation projects. So there's 32 projects in all. And so we get to go out there, take our whole project out there and display it for NGO presidents, investors, Bill Gates, all kinds of people. So we're trying to commercialize all these products is the idea of the conference.
And I guess
so.
You get to meet some other people who have been working in various aspects.
Yeah, that's what I'm most excited about is just to meet a lot of people. So,
have you come in contact with any, just as a result of this project, and seen other ideas and other approaches that people are taking?
Most of them are, there's not too many locally. I mean, there's kind of a global thing. So most of the projects are actually from overseas. So. That's what I'm most excited about. And there's a few local people that I've gotten with and that I plan on working with in the future that have dealt with, including in our department, that work specifically with engineering in developing countries. So
what is your plan? You talked about wanting to do this kind of work generally, and environmental work is particularly interesting to you. What do you have in mind?
I don't know. Hopefully, I mean, who knows how long this project could go. I mean, if we get the next phase, it could go a few more years, and then after Seattle, you never know. So hopefully I'll be working on this project for a while, but that's another thing. I'm definitely trying to find a career while I'm in Seattle, maybe make a few connections to get a job out there.
The Gates, they got a lot going on out there.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And when you're done there, you can check in. Amazon's there. You got a few things. And then you can go down to the market. If you do fish, you can fish and make money that way. A lot of things to do. Very great. And so in terms of the department now at NC State, does this change things for them in terms of their focus on these kind of projects?
Well, actually, I mean, I kind of call myself the black sheep of the department because my project's way different from everyone else because the main focus of environmental engineering in our department is water and wastewater treatment. So this is a little, I mean, we're not actually treating the water. We're just getting waste out of a pit, basically. So, I mean, it's way different from the...
There is the question of, all right, so now you get the drums, you fill them up. Maybe you can get a truck in there to take them out. But
where do they go?
Still, where do you go? Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what other people are working on, where it goes after that. My focus is just from the pit to the drums, and then after that.
Yeah, we got Duke. People. We got Carolina.
Yeah.
It doesn't all have to be on your shoulders.
Maybe not Carolina. No.
Tate, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks.
Tate Rogers, graduate student in environmental engineering at North Carolina State University. Just ahead, how a resort in the North Carolina mountains served our country during World War I. Stay with us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.